pettit.
It is. Yeah, just missed out. I missed a pennant in 66. I missed a pennant in 69. So.
You were close by in Washington, yeah, but it was like light years, though, huh?
Yeah, it's light years away.
Okay, so okay. After Baltimore, you went to Rochester for another year, I guess still with Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And you got 287 there, played the whole year. Now, how did you get involved with going to Japan? What was the background on that?
They had tried to get me on that before.
The Japanese
teams. Yeah, before. That was 4 years prior to that. It was in Baltimore, I think it was. I think it was 65.
Well, you played in Washington, Honolulu, that
thing. Yeah, and from Honolulu, that's when they started really recruiting.
They had some scouts in Hawaii.
Yeah, and they wanted me at that time, and Washington called me back up. So the scouts, they stayed in touch each year and wanted to know what was going on. I told them I couldn't get no release date. And then when Baltimore indicated that they knew I was not going to come back to them or I wasn't going to become a coach, they gave me an option going to Japan, and I said I wanted to go.
Would you still sort of belong to Baltimore, though? They were sort of giving you, like, lending you to Japan,
well,
or you were released?
It was a release.
Release, yeah, okay. All right. Now, yeah, once again, you're seeing the world.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, hadn't been to Japan. Have you been to Japan before?
No.
Okay.
First time.
All right. Now, their season, does the tour correspond to our season, or is it?
Sort of, but that's misleading, because season are basically set up almost in the same time frame of starting in April, mid-April. But over there, they have the typhoon season, which starts mid-June. And that goes for a month to mid-July. And you don't play during that time, you just practice. You just go into a big barn that each city would have set up for that purpose of practicing. You hit, throw, and you run for about 2 hours a day. Then you go back to the hotel and just eat and watch TV or go to the movie or whatever. That's for a whole month. And then at the end of the season, they attach that month that you missed on to the end of the season. So rather than ending up the latter part of September like you normally do, you end up the latter part of October. Then your playoffs start.
How's the weather over there at that time of the year?
It's about like it is here. Yeah.
So a little chilly then?
It's a little chilly. In April, it's a little chilly. And come October, it gets to be a little chilly. Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you got over there, were there any other Americans playing ball at the time?
On each team, they had two.
They're allowed to have two, I guess.
Right. Each team, with the exception of Tokyo, they were the only teams that maintained only their own Oriental players.
Was that in the league rule, or that was just sort of?
No, that was just them. Yeah, they had Nakashima O, and he was the big hitter over there, and they just had all Japanese players.
Now, who were some of the other American players at the time you were there?
Well, Willie Kirkland and I was on the same team. George Altman, he was on one of the teams over there. Don Blasingame was on one of the teams. And Bob Chance, he was over there. Got him over there. Oh, my God, I can't think of any others right now. But each team had two.
Now, did they have, was it two leagues that they had?
They had two leagues.
Two leagues, and was it eight teams in the league? Or?
Eight teams in each league, right.
And then the pennant, they would just have the top two teams play for their World Series?
Well, they had the playoffs.
Oh, well, how many teams were in the playoffs?
Well, they had four teams in each division.
So half the teams played in the playoffs?
In the playoffs, right. And then they have their own World Series over there.
I guess each league had their own playoffs, and then the winner of each league would play for the championship.
Right. Mm-hmm. Kind of similar setup that they have here.
Now, the field, the playing fields, were they comparable in size?
Size-wise, they were, but, you know, they didn't have the grass. More sand than grass on the fields over there. But you get accustomed to it. But the size, the dimensions, they are pretty much the same. Only some of the parks are bigger than the others. I mean, space-wise, you get downtown Tokyo, they didn't have that much space, so the stadium's naturally a little smaller. I played out of Osaka, much larger city, and the stadium, the ballpark was a little bit much larger. It was the biggest park in the whole series.
That team was called the Hanshin Tigers.
Hanshin Tigers.
Right, okay. Now, did you have much of a language problem?
When I first got there, I had a big problem. I had an interpreter to be with us. And so he stayed with us as long as he could and got us around. Then I got to the point where I got some books and I started trying to learn as much of the language as I could. And by mid-season, I could pretty much go into a restaurant and order my food, get in a cab and give directions, and couldn't get away. And by three-fourths of the season, I just told him we were going to rough it. And we had some of the Japanese players trying to learn English, and I'm trying to learn, and we'd correspond with each other. And then I brought the family over, and they in turn spent 2.5 months with me. And that became a joy part of the season.
Did some of the Japanese players speak English?
Just a very few. Yeah, very few.
How about the fans?
The fans are there. They still eat baseball. They're just real avid fans over there. Every game was almost just about sold out. I mean, they come out in the first part of practice and they'd be there until the last out is made. And they were a different breed of fans than what we have here in America.
I guess is that their national sport?
It's the national sport, man. Yeah.
You were there that one year, and it looks like that was your last year.
It was. Well,
could you have played another year if you wanted?
I had signed up to go back the following year, and the company got in touch with me, and that's when they asked me if I would consider, heading up a department with this particular company.
Clark Construction.
Yeah, it was George Hyman at that time.
Oh yeah.
And so I had already signed up to go back, and this was January 1971, and after talking to Mr. Clark twice, I just made it up in my mind that the wife and the kids, it was just too long to be away from them, and they were growing up. And
where were they living at that time?
Same place, living now in Washington.
Living in Washington.
Yeah. So I decided to retire, and I sent them a cablegram to the fact that I had voluntarily retired and I would no longer be playing baseball, because they didn't like that at all. I became
the Japanese.
Yeah. And so they didn't appreciate it. Well, it was a tough time because...
Well, you were getting... How old were you back then?
When I retired, 35.
Well, close to...
Well, I could have played 3 more years over there, easy. And the guys over there, Americans over there, could play 35, they could play 30, almost to 40 years old. But it was a hard grind being away from home that long. You leave in February and you don't come back until almost Thanksgiving.
That's 9 months.
That's 9 months away. And realistically, you can't take your family, if you have kids, and put them in school over there because it's so expensive. And that'll eat you alive over there. So that was helped me make up my mind in reference to not going back.
Your salary over there, was that higher than you would have gotten there?
Oh, yeah. They don't mind paying you. They pay you a good salary, but then again, like I said, you got to balance it out. It's expensive living over there, and what you have to give up in order to get over there. You got to go through the conversions of your yens into dollars and all of this stuff through the black market or whatever. But they do pay you well. They pay well.
Now, are there any special customs with Japanese baseball or rules that are different than American?
Pretty much they have their own rules set up, whereas like in American ball, if you got a 10-run lead, you don't go out stealing bases and everything, but they may run any time over there and they give you that run sign. And over there, the pitchers, more or less, when they hit somebody, whether it's intentional or not, they oh, they say you're sorry, took off the captain's bow and everything. I got hit a few times, and the guy hit you and tell you you're sorry, what more can you do, regardless of how you feel? And you think back over here now, these guys getting hit, and the first thing they do, they charge in the mound, you know. But as a whole, they are very receptive to American players. And they're just really nice people over there.
Do they play as hard as Americans play?
They play as hard their way. But their whole method of playing, and I think one of the reasons the Japanese players don't last as long as the American players is because they are actually playing 11 months out of the year, either playing or practicing. And they believe a year's contract is a year's contract. They own you for that whole year. And what they do with their players, once the season is over, they send them out to training camps. And they go out there for a whole day and they just practicing, and playing ball and practicing. Then they give them 1 month off for the year. That's a vacation month. Then they come back and there they go again. So as a whole, they burn up a lot quicker than the American players. Because when our season is over, it's over. You go do whatever you have to do. If you had to go find a job, you find a job. And over there, for one reason, Frank Howard couldn't last over there. We go to spring training, do all these exercises and lifts, stretches and everything. And once you leave spring training, you're supposed to be in playing shape. You come out before the game like you do here and loosen up, warm up, take batting practice, and boom, you go. But over there, they do the same training throughout the year. That same stuff you go through spring training, you're going through it every day before a game. And that wears out a lot of players. Wears them out along with the other players that's going through it. So it's a different mode you have to go through it and adjust to once you go over there.
What was your biggest thrill in baseball? Your most memorable game?
Well, I guess that possibly was in DC Stadium. We were playing, again, Los Angeles, the Angels. I guess that was one team I had the best average hitting odds against. And I think it was maybe the seventh or eighth inning, and we were down a few runs, and I popped the grand slam home run off of the left, one of the left-handed pitchers. And I never felt that way again, because being home, being down, and to bring the club back, and on a weekend, it was a Saturday game, and all the kids in the stadium and everything. So I remember that more than anything else.
How'd you get along with the umpires?
Well, I never had any problems with the umpires. And I can't remember being thrown out of the game. I almost got thrown out one by Runge. I remember that. He called a pitch, and I didn't think it was a pitch, so I was walking back. And I threw the bat up in the air, and it hit the ground and started rolling. And people in the stands were laughing, and they would laugh. I didn't know what they were laughing at. And I turned around and the bat was just rolling towards Runge, and he was standing there looking at me. I guess he was waiting on it to just touch it.
Stop it.
So when I came back up to the bat again, he said, I guess you know if that bat had touched my toe, you would have been out of here. But I had a good relationship with the umpire.
Now, being a switch hitter, do you have more success hitting left-handed or right-handed?
I would say left-handed, yeah, because of the opportunities. Just had more right-handed pitchers.
And who is the toughest pitcher, or some of the toughest pitchers?
I always tell people the toughest pitcher I had to hit against was Catfish Hunter. I always thought that that pitcher staff in Kansas City had was the toughest in the league. But as an individual, I always thought he was the toughest pitcher that I had to hit off of.
And how about easy pitchers you put at home?
I don't know if I could even think of anybody I could own, and not in the big leagues. You may have a few good days, but then they come back and have some good days against you.
Okay. So anyway, after you left Japan, you went with construction. You had worked with them on an off-season previously?
No. My first year with them in 1971. Oh. That's when I retired.
Well, how did they know about it? they wanted you to work for them.
Well, I had a friend that worked for the company, and we were friends, had been friends for several years. We go to Christmas parties together and New Year's, spend the New Year's together. And that last Christmas in 70, the New Year's party that we ended up going to, is when the owner, Jim Clark, had indicated to him that he was looking for someone to head up a department. And if he knew of anyone, to let him know. And he just brought it up at the party that night. And I said, well, we all drinking now, having a good time, so let's talk about it a little bit later, because I don't want to say something now, I'll be deciding it later. And sure enough.
Before that party, though, you were still going to be playing baseball?
Oh, I had already signed my contract to go back to Japan. And you have to sign your contract before they let you leave from the home.
Can't get out of the country.
No, they won't let you go.
That's why they were mad.
If they want you back, you sign your contract, and then you go home. And plus the fact they kept me over there until after Thanksgiving, after the World Series, then you go into the home and you get to negotiate your contract. Plus you're spending yens every day to live, and they eat you up that way.
And what do you do for Clark Construction?
I'm director of community relations, and that involves subcontract solicitation of minority women and small businesses. And we do a lot of federal government work, whereas I'm responsible for implementing the program to deal with the federal work. We get involved with a lot of community groups, associations, and projects, and that's pretty much my responsibility also.
Clark's one of the biggest construction companies in the country, isn't it?
Yeah, quite. Sometimes I think too big, but it's one of the largest companies in the country.
They're building something right across the street here.
They got two projects. One that you see across the street, and one right down the street. They're just inside now. They pretty much closed in.
How's baseball different today than when you played?
A lot of money. Well, I think, other than the money being a difference, the players are bigger, stronger, and faster, and that makes a big difference. And another thing is the game's played a little bit different. It's played a lot different. Players in my area, they guys kind of ate and slept baseball, and you don't see it going to that extent today. It's a business now. As the owners hated during our era, it was all business to them. And now the players are looking at it from the same perspective. It's a business now. And I don't see the players giving it the 110% that the guys in the past gave it. And if they hurt, they hurt. And they don't play hurt like we used to play to some extent. And I don't know, I can't say that a lot of players today are playing for themselves as opposed to the team, but you know, we used to give each other hell for not really coming through when you should come through, or make a mistake, particularly a mental mistake. We were just into the game. Seem like more as a team than they are today.
You keep in touch with any of the ex-players or teammates?
Yeah, because right now I serve on the board of directors for the Major League Baseball Alumni Association. And we have constant meetings. We have annual dinners. Just had a dinner up in New York once a year, bringing all of the players back in, former players, plus present players, have an awards ceremony. Then we have golf tournaments, about 54 golf tournaments throughout the country.
Yeah, I know there was one down in Scottsdale, Arizona. We had our national convention there a couple of years ago, and I think the day before, the afternoon before, the morning. Scottsdale, you got to play in the morning.
All you have to.
And it started at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, but they have these for these local community groups to help raise funds for whatever cause.
About how many members do you have?
Oh, we must have close to 6,000 members now. All of the present baseball players have become members. Then we have members for fans, former ball players.
I was in one year.
Yeah, and we have about 6,000 members now.
And it seems like with that organization, you have a fair amount of officers in this area. I think Jim Hannon.
Yeah. Jim Hannon. He's chairman. He works right downtown, and he's been chairperson for a good little while, and one of the founders as well as myself, Chuck Hinton, is in the area. So it's coming along pretty good.
That's certainly one way to keep in touch with everybody.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Anything else you have to say?
We cover a lot of quite a bit, so we get to talking about baseball and life. It can go on and on and on, but
now this tape we're doing, eventually we'll probably get up to the Hall of Fame. Apparently they have some sort of area up there where they have a list of players available or tapes, and people can listen to it if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay with you?
Sure, no problem.
And there might be some of our members who can use some of this information for research.
Okay.
That.
Sure. If you have any other further help, you have my card. Mm-hmm. Give me a call, and if I'm not here,
leave a message.
I do quite a bit of travel, and have a few more years here, so I'll be around for a while.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.